This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. David Bowes filling in for Michael Medved, along with executive producer Greg Tomlin. We have on our minds the same thing that most of the nation has on their minds, and that's the midterm elections. What direction will the nation take? Polls are showing a tightening. Polls that once dismissed Republican chances are now saying Democrats may have peaked too early. There is problems afoot for the dreams of a historic win for those who were hoping to keep Pelosi Speaker of the House, those who were hoping for a Democrat takeover of the Senate with strong majorities. There's big problems afoot for the Biden administration, maybe. And that's the beauty of this time in the election process. But what's going wrong for the Democrats? Why are they having this problem? To answer that question, we turn to a source who should know, a surprising source, and that would be a former president of the United States, Barack Obama. Number six.
We spend enormous amounts of time and energy and resources pointing out the latest crazy thing he said, how rude or mean some of these Republican candidates behaved. That's probably not something that in the minds of most voters overrides their basic interests. Can I pay the rent? What are gas prices? How am I dealing with child care, et cetera, right?
You got to hand it to him. In this case, he's onto something there. He's pulling a James Carville, who, occasionally Carville would just call it out and say, hey, our folks are not speaking on the issues that matter to the voters, and that's why we're getting hit. Obama's doing the same thing here. It's like, yeah, we could talk about how much we hate Trump all day long and how much what he said makes us really mad. And by the way, for those who think that Trump's tweets and negative talk are part of a carefully calculated plot to get Democrats to do exactly that, this soundbite's got to be music to their ears. But, President Obama hits onto something there. These are the people are not just waiting to find out what you think about President Trump. They're waiting to find out what you're going to do about inflation, what you're going to do about the economy.
That's, of course, correct. And as you stated, he is talking about the former president there at the start of that clip. And what he's referring to mainly is Democrats think that if they forever keep Donald Trump in the minds of the American people, that can somehow send them on their way to electoral victory come the midterms. I think that's a dubious claim, and so does Barack Obama here. Because, again, it's one of those things, like, when you're sitting around the dinner table, you're not talking about what Trump put out on Truth Social or the latest pejorative he used about somebody. And, yeah, there are more serious issues involving, results of a free and fair election, and are they questioned by certain members of a certain party? Yes, I think that is fair game to go after, but he nails it, and that is so often progressives miss what Americans care about the most and what affects them the most, and too often get bogged down in just crazy stuff. He went on to talk about how Democrats can often be a buzzkill when it comes to just everyday conversation. This clip, 6.5.
The life I'm leading day to day. How does politics even, how is it even relevant to the things that I care most deeply about? My family, my kids, work that gives me satisfaction, having fun, not being a buzzkill, right?
That's a lesson for the Democratic
Party. Yeah, and sometimes Democrats are, right? Yeah. It's like, sometimes people just want to not feel as if they are walking on eggshells. And they want some acknowledgement that life is messy and that all of us at any given moment can say things the wrong way, make mistakes.
Yeah.
I have personal experience with what he's referring to here, this notion of some people being buzzkills. I think large in part people who identify as Democrats. But this one time in recent years, I was at a wedding reception, really small wedding reception, intimate setting. There's maybe 20 of us there. And we're all having a great time, right? You know, maybe a few adult beverages consumed, but we're in a very, state of jubilation and celebration, right? One person used a term that you could say was perhaps outdated by maybe 5 years, and it was almost like you could hear a record scratch in the room because someone decided to speak up and, like, call that person out on that, like, in public in front of a lot of people. And it was the most embarrassing, cringe moment you could ever imagine. But it speaks to this notion of being a buzzkill. And I think rarely do you see people who identify as conservative or GOP be the word police or be the woke scolds or be the people that are going to kind of take the air out of a room with some kind of comment that just ruins the moment. Do you think I'm reading into that, or would you agree historically and speaking?
It's clear the left is so ultra sensitive right now. It's tough. There's some comparisons that you can make on the right, but they're so small in scope that the difference in degree becomes a difference in principle. There's a lot of different issues where a slight disagreement can lead to big problems. I mean, off air, we were talking briefly about, you know, Bill Maher being upset because he had a party and a left-wing guest would not arrive because there was somebody from the right that was also attending the dinner party. You know, it wasn't people on the right saying, I'm unwilling to talk to people on the left. It was people on the left saying, I don't want to talk to anybody on the right. And I think part of that comes from, you know, there's been a lot of focus on, you know, when it comes to politics. You remember when Romney was attacked, it was Romney wants old people off the cliff, you know, and
I thought that was Paul Ryan that pushed grandma in the wheelchair off a cliff.
Both of them, just horrible, evil people that hate old people and they hate you and they're racists and horrible. And George W. Bush, also racist and horrible. And you just go on, and people just on the right, they just got tired of it. It was always, we're the evil side. And then the other side, we generally look at them as, you know what, they're wrong on policy. They generally people, you know, on the right were willing to concede good intentions, but they thought that the results of their policy were bad. And, you know, then people kind of gave that up. And now we're seeing, you know, now that the right is largely playing by those other rules. I mean, Trump's playing by the rules that the left established there, which is the other side is horrible, no matter what. And in Trump's definition, that's anybody who's opposed to him. He's just willing to go all out and say anything about them. And so, you know, that's an ugliness and a lack of civility. But, you know, buzzkill is, it's political correctness. There's plenty of comedians now that are struggling to find a way to be funny because people don't know the difference between, you know, a joke that illustrates something fragile or wrong with human nature versus, you know, they make the joke and then therefore it's a joke about, you know, it's a proof of insensitivity about, you know, subject A, B, or C. Did you watch the Dave Chappelle special on Netflix?
I've seen all of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, guy's very, very, very funny.
Highly inappropriate.
Highly inappropriate. You know,
he has some good points.
He says things I think are wrong sometimes, but a lot of times he's saying things, you know, that are right, and at any time it's provocative. I mean, it makes me think about my own perceptions. Well, he got slammed for being anti-trans in that Netflix special. I mean, a reasonable person watching that who doesn't mind profanity, I think it would be very hard for them to come away saying Dave Chappelle hates trans people. I mean, because the entire thing was an emotional tribute to someone that he had worked with, and he spoke very highly of them. He also made jokes about them, but he had a very strong, you could tell, emotional connection to that person and to their struggle.
Well, but what's unfortunate about the example you bring up is that it almost takes someone with screw you money to voice things like that in our culture. They have to be immune to cancel culture.
Dave Chappelle, J.K. Rowling.
Because their pockets are just overflowing with millions of dollars that they've accrued. Otherwise, though, in other parts of society, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, if you just make a decent middle class living, you far more have to temper your speech and watch what you say, which is unfortunate. Yeah. And not that you should be a jerk and, you know, verbose and in people's face, but you should be able to speak what you discern as the truth and do it in a respectful way and not fear the consequences.
And if you're running for office, talk about the economy.
Greg Tomlin, Dave Bowes in for the Michael Medved Show. We'll be right back.
And I'm quoting here, insane, catastrophic, chaos.
The Michael Medved Show.
These are some of the more polite words.
Washington Policy Center exposed the impact of the new tax on fuel that will add 46 cents per gallon to the price of gasoline next year. Support WPC for as little as $5 a month and get their free weekly newsletter or join us for an elegant evening out. It's Friday, October 14th at the Bellevue Hyatt Regency and see the 70th Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, and filmmaker researcher Chris Rufo keynoting WPC's annual dinner. Tickets and details at WPCdinner.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code MEDVED. That's MyPillow.com, promo code MEDVED, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code MEDVED or 1-800-320-6280.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, simulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Welcome back to the Michael Medved Show. David Bowes filling in along with Greg Tomlin. The city of Tacoma in Washington State is banning camping within 10 blocks of temporary shelters beginning November 14th. And those who disobey and end up camping in these areas will face a misdemeanor offense punishable by up to $250 fine or 30 days in jail. My guess is that they don't want to do the 30 days in jail because it's going to cost them money.
Pardon my
jail.
Laughter. Yeah, go ahead.
And the odds of paying the $250 fine are probably why you laughed, Greg.
Indeed.
Yeah, nobody's going to pay that fine. Now, here's the thing. I live in Tacoma. Tacoma, Washington. I've seen some of these encampments, and they're spreading. Tacoma is in danger of becoming Seattle.
Are they metastasizing?
There's a lot of camps that are spreading. They're more open than they were before. On some of the streets downtown, it's just horrible. You drive down the street, and you just see tent after tent after tent, you know, clustered together with garbage everywhere. And by the way, there's some public garbage cans nearby. You know, there's place. You know, bags are not that expensive, right? You could at least bag it up and pile it somewhere for the city. But anyway, for myself, I see this and I think I'm glad that they're doing something. I'm glad that they're at least recognizing, hey, we got to curtail some of this. One of the frustrations I have is in the story they're reflecting that there's about 2,500 or more additional homeless people according to a single day count. Then there are shelters in the city. And the reason I find that frustrating is because I think that while we want people to hit a rock bottom, we allow the rock bottom to be too far down. Because our rock bottom now is you're allowed to basically cost the taxpayers millions of dollars because you're going to be hospitalized and you need medical assistance because you're ODing all the time and doing other things. You're allowed to just ride around in the middle of the street in the middle of the day, inebriated, intoxicated, overdosing on various drugs. There's theft going on. There's arrest after arrest after arrest. And we just allow them to continue to live on the city streets. Stealing shopping carts. There's bicycles galore. Nobody bought those bikes, right? And there's, you know, as a victim of property theft a number of times, I can tell you it's very frustrating to have your money taken and nobody interested in getting your items back, right? So I look at this and I get frustrated. I think we need to raise the bar of where the floor is and just say as a community, no, if you're on the sidewalk, that's beyond rock bottom. We're not letting you sleep there. We're not letting you camp there. You're not going to stay there. You don't get to be a part of that. And, you know, the public spaces are not places for you to throw up your tarps and camps and then sit there as though, you know, right next to for hire signs to camp forever. I mean, including across the waterfront now in Tacoma. I saw a couple of tents lodged there, and I thought, well, I don't know why I'm paying taxes. I could have a waterfront home. I could bring a mini home trailer right there and camp it.
Like you, when I read this story up at King 5, I was initially encouraged because I thought to myself, at least this is a start. At least it's something
right.
to begin to put an end to the madness. But then as I continued to read the story, I got, you know, equally dismayed because I think part of this amounts to we get the leaders we deserve, not necessarily the leaders we need. And I still don't sense this massive upswell of citizens saying enough is enough. In fact, quite the opposite. From King 5, dozens of people signed up to give public comment at Tuesday night's meeting. The majority spoke against the ordinance and said it would criminalize homelessness and impose unjust penalties on people just struggling to survive.
Maybe it's unfair of me, but I look at those groups like activists for hire. I mean, I feel like there's a certain group of activists that are always going to show up to these things. I suspect that they're getting paid to be there, and they're paid to be perpetually outraged. You see those little flyers on from time to time, you know, make X amount per hour, come and be an activist there. I look at that, and so I kind of dismiss those, and I pay more attention to the people I'm talking to in grocery stores, the neighbors, the people I run into at restaurants, and I just strike up a conversation to see where they're at on that issue. And I watch for faces when people are trying to get out of the parking lot, and you're accosted by various people sitting there, you know, saying that, you know, they're just looking for a little bit of help here and there.
I've never been to so many grocery stores that have this massive thing on wheels that has a big pole coming out of it with lights on it and a loudspeaker that says, lock your valuables in your car and make sure.
It's RoboCop. It's
yes.
that other RoboCop without the guns, you know. And
I mean, this is at my neighborhood grocery store.
Right. And they're locking. Look, it used to be you could go into a neighborhood grocery store and things weren't locked up. Now,
yes.
you know, we're approaching the point where bananas are going to be locked up because it's like, you know, 55 cents for bananas. Everything expensive is locked up now. I walk through, I'm trying to buy things. Like, you know, baby formula, locked up. Anything that's, you know, razors, locked up. Anything that has a decent price point is locked up because people will steal it and resell it, you know.
Mercy to the guilty is cruelty to the innocent. And when you have a criminal element, which consists, a big portion of it is the homeless population in and around this area, and they just walk in and commit crimes with impunity, and they don't fear the law to any degree. Hello, like, this is not rocket science here, people.
Yeah, the problem I'm having and the challenge I'm having is I want to do something about it, and I don't have time. I've got, you know, kids, and I've got work, and I've got, you know, too much to do at home. But I'll tell you, in my mind, I keep thinking about taking my truck.
Oh, where's this going?
Going over to the encampments closest to my house because they keep spreading closer and closer.
And starting,
I'm not going to put up with it.
You're going to start a dumpster fire?
No, I'm going to say, you know, if this is not legal to camp in the public's place. It's not legal to put up tarps and a bunch of stuff here. I want to collect it all, throw it in the back of the truck, you know, put the tarp down first, throw all that crap in there, and then I'll take it to City Hall or take it to wherever it is. You know, I don't care if it's City Hall or the police building headquarters. Just drop it off and say, if you can find who this belongs to, more power to you. In the meantime, we don't want it in our neighborhood. And I'm betting that there's a lot of people out there that feel the same way.
Yeah, don't do it. I care too much for your personal safety, Dave. Here's a little story from King 5 of the Tacoma City Council banning camping within 10 blocks of temporary shelters.
Open in Tacoma.
What housing rights are under attack? What do we do?
Outside Tacoma City Hall, people hoping council members will once again turn down a camping ban.
We've struck this down twice, and we don't want this ban. What we want is real housing solutions.
Inside, the meeting overwhelmingly had spoken public comment against the ordinance.
You have to have a place that's safe for them. It is their human right. It is their dignity that you're playing with here.
Words have no meaning anymore. They just absolutely have no meaning.
I was about to say, there's a lot of dignity. Look, there's a lot of problems with how people, you know, and how localities will prevent people from making housing available that's cheap, because you have all these rules about how big it has to be, all these things. But, you know, dignity is not the number one thing I see when I see people defecating on the streets or shooting.
Well, what's your definition of dignity, Dave?
You know, it's not that. Yeah. I'll give you that. Now, look,
fair enough.
There's plenty of poor people that carry themselves with great dignity. And
absolutely.
And I'm not devaluing individuals, but certain behaviors, there's a huge difference in how people on the right versus people on the left see the homeless problem. People on the left see the homeless problem as primarily an economic challenge. It's not their behaviors. It's not drugs or anything like that. It's they've been oppressed by the system. And that's why there's this, you know, this moral outrage when anyone tries to do something about it. The rest of us are seeing things in a different light.
Greg Tomlin and Washington Policy Center's Dave Bowes in for your Cultural Crusader. Lots more coming up. Really busy show today. Your Cultural Crusader will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, enjoy these ads.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Bird flu is causing a big drop in U.S. poultry numbers. Federal officials say this year's outbreak of avian flu is responsible for the deaths of some 47 million chickens and turkeys. According to Reuters, that outbreak is contributing to record poultry prices ahead of the holiday season. margins are narrowing between Democratic and Republican candidates in the midterm races. California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna tells Fox News that people are hurting right now with inflation, and Democrats are working to ease the burden.
The Democrats' agenda to tackle inflation is to bring manufacturing back. It's to tackle our supply chains. The Republicans have said they want tax cuts to the rich.
Republicans claim Democrats in Congress spent too much and spiked inflation. They also want to increase domestic production of oil. USA Radio News.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief watching the world lose its mind. As we all know, global problems have local consequences. Too many of them. And if the next news headline spins us into chaos, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Today's the day to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits are in stock and ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats standing in government food lines. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Did you know that you can easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You've even seen it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Michael Medved Show. Dave, it is polling season. It's hard to keep up. It seems like every new day, a new poll. Harvard, Ipsos, Quinnipiac, NBC, CNN, on and on. What to make of each respective data point? Hard to tell. I mean, the ultimate poll is Election Day coming up. And it never fails. I'm always surprised at some of the takeaways from each election because leading up to the fateful day, respective political parties like to put people in boxes. You'll vote this way, you'll vote this way. But there always tends to be some head-scratching takeaways because Americans, human beings, are complex creatures, right? And you really get your finger on the pulse of where we're at after these big elections.
When I'm when I talk with a lot of people about politics, especially those who, well, I should say even some who follow it regularly, it's tough to get people to realize that most people are not consistent. Most people are not philosophically grounded in one direction. They kind of, they're kind of feeling about an issue. They get an emotional connection to it, or it's hit them personally, or, they move in general directions. But it doesn't mean that they're going to be consistent in how they're going to vote. You know, locally we had, my former football coach, Hans Dunshi, was a state representative here, and he used to self-identify as, a Marxist of sorts. And when he ran for office, he was a Jeffersonian Democrat. And, in the same legislative district was the head of Concerned Women for America, State Senator Val Stevens. And so you had, a really conservative lady who was representing the same district as the very left-leaning guy, and somehow they both connected to the voters. And it could not have been, through policy, but it was through personality. And that's what people forget.
Well, and this latest Harvard-Harris poll that had me kind of reflecting in all kind of interesting ways was, who are the most favored political figures in America.
I'm not buying this, by the way.
I'm not sure.
I'm calling bullshit on this. This does not make sense to me.
And let's not start with number one. Let's work our way up at the bottom of the list. Again, but though this is coming in the top 25, must be Vladimir Putin with an 11% of favorable rating. I would love to talk to this segment of Americans. Is it the bare-chested horseback riding that they like the most, or is it the tens of thousands of Ukrainians dead? Who approves of Vladimir Putin? You think I'm being too harsh on the Russian dictator?
Probably everybody in Russia who comes across Vladimir Putin, they're going to say, I approve of Vladimir Putin.
Okay, you know, sure.
But who are they polling here? Americans? You know, how do they... Maybe they caught him on a Friday after a few.
Chuck Schumer is in the middle of the list with 29% favorable. Then you've got Pelosi, Ted Cruz, Hillary Clinton. Now we start getting into future presidential hopefuls.
Right, hold it right there. I thought of the answer for Putin. Okay. I know why.
Okay, now you know.
It's because when Americans are polled, we're sick of being polled and called. I've gotten spam calls galore.
Okay.
And at a certain point, you get sick of the person that you know what they're trying to get from you.
It's a spite vote.
Right. So there's 11% of Americans, you know, they're kicking back a few and they're like, hey, kids, watch this. You know, and they've got the button on mute and then they're like, Vladimir Putin. That's who I like. You know.
Click.
Yeah, that's who it is.
Top six most favorite political figures. Ron DeSantis, number six. Slightly ahead of him, Kamala Harris with 40%. Then Bernie Sanders, still hanging in there. He's got to be pushing 90 at this point. He hasn't ruled out a presidential run for 2024. Not yet. Let's hope. Fingers crossed. And then the top three. The President of the United States with a 43% favorable rating. And then, this is the one I would venture a guess you don't believe, Mike Pence, second most favored political figure.
Yeah, that makes no sense to me. I mean, it's nothing against Pence personally. It's just that I've never walked into a room and had people say, Tosh, what's Mike Pence doing? You know, there's nobody talking about him, nobody looking for him.
You don't think he engenders excitement and enthusiasm?
It depends on if they suggested Pence to people and asked, there might be people on the left that favor Pence because he didn't do what Trump wanted him to do. And there might be people on the right that favor Pence because, you know, he stands for a lot of things that they like. Then maybe you get this number, but I just don't see Pence coming to, you know, to the top of the list just on his own.
And who barely inches him out? It's the former president, Donald J. Trump, with a 47% favorable rating, which to some people might come across as shocking. To me, it just further proves the point that love him or hate him, the guy seems immune to a lot of traditional attacks or people trying to tear him down. Number one on this list, Donald Trump.
And this
that does not surprise
Harris
you, I take
right.
it.
No, it does.
I mean, January 6th, no effect whatsoever. His actions in the last year, no effect whatsoever on his favorability.
No, this is shocking. I've not talked about it before, but I'm sick of hearing about the January 6th thing. I feel like for months and months and months, there are streets burning and people demanding policy change and claiming that, you know, any amount of riot or lawlessness is perfectly okay to demand certain things. Then you have the riot at the Capitol, which I found horrifying, and as did most people I know. But, you know, now it's kind of framed as this elaborate, you know, it was like a 100,000 person army down there. It looked more to me like you have a certain collection that is more problematic than others. And yet, we're supposed to remember this forever. It's just, you know, some guy in a buffalo costume, right?
And I think, as with many things, the January 6th committee and the Democrats' messaging around that day amounts to a narrative that is falling on deaf ears, which is democracy in peril. We were just moments away from losing our republic, and they overplayed their hand yet again. I look back at that day and go, that was shameful. I remember that morning texting my family and friends and being like, what the hell is going on at the Capitol? I see guns drawn in the House chamber. This is disgraceful. It's disgusting. But then within a week, it was, we almost no longer had a country. I don't think any American really believes that at their core. They went, that looks bad, but I don't think we're worried we're going to lose our nation because of that.
Exactly. And then there's just the same repetition of you know, they wouldn't accept election results. Well, meanwhile, you have Stacey Abrams of Georgia. We have George W. Bush. You know, the Associated Press investigated. Yeah, he won Florida in 2000, And yet for the next, well, it wasn't just 4 years, but it was throughout his term, there was always the allegation that he never really won. And it just went, and Al Gore made, and very prominent figures in the Democrat circles made that claim over and over and over again. And yet there wasn't all the news media concern about, you know, is our Democratic Republic safe?
Well, but also a distinguishing difference is, we had a physical manifestation of election denial on January 6th that we didn't have in those other examples. I agree that Democrats have been guilty of questioning free and fair elections and outright saying illegitimate, illegitimate, illegitimate. But it was the riot itself that took it to the next level that was like, okay, words are one thing, but when you've got guys with nooses and poles and beating up Capitol Police officers, that's where we go, pump the brakes here.
I felt like there's been riots and horrible things happening with the country for the last several months.
Oh, no doubt.
And now it's being taken seriously because it's happening where the politicians are. And I thought, well, you know, welcome. It's like in Die Hard when, you know, when the car crashes and all those guys are shooting at Sergeant Al Powell. And Bruce Willis comes out and says, welcome to the party, pal, you know. It's like, well, yeah, there's been horrible things happening. And now you guys are waking up to this. Like, it might be a good idea to cool tempers a little bit. You know, yep, good idea.
Do you think the Democrats knew that the hearings were not going to move the needle at all, but went through with it anyway as sort of an exercise in onanism? Or do you really think they falsely believed, oh, this is going to make a huge difference come the election?
Well, that's a gross metaphor. But I think one of the things here is that there's a political strategy about turning out the base, and you got to do some things that really crank your base up. January 6th turns the left-wing base way up. I mean, they're passionate. They're furious. You know, it gets them feeling righteous, and they're, you know, saving America. You know, on the right, it's something else. They're just trying to crank up the base. That's what that is.
Greg Tomlin, Dave Bowes in for your cultural crusader. Stick around. We will be right back.
The most popular person in the history of the Republican Party.
Michael Medved.
Well, it's autumn, and if you're going to go out and look at some of the great colors of the leaves and enjoy the season, well, you get more active, and you know what? Maybe some aches and pains. I had a sore arm for a while, but fortunately, I also have Relief Factor. And more to the point, my wife, who is always more active than I am, she uses Relief Factor as well. It is a great, wholly natural, very healthy, scientifically proven pain reliever. It is, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. And right now, Relief Factor is still discounted at only $19.95 for what's called a quick start. So about a dollar a day to see if you can get out of pain in just a couple of weeks. And for the cost of a cup of coffee a day, you can get out and stay out of pain. Check it out at michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest-rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
It is the Michael Medved Show. Greg Tomlin and friend of the program, Dave Bowes, sitting in today. Pleased now to be joined by Sam Fortier. He is a beat writer for the Washington Post covering the Washington Commanders football team. Sam, your Twitter bio says you're also an aspiring taxidermist. We may have time to get into that at the end of this segment. Not so sure. We'll see how it goes. How about that? Tell us a little bit about what the Washington Post did here to get a sense for which issues are most important for prospective voters ahead of the midterms, and what was your involvement?
Yeah, so myself and three of my colleagues kind of fanned out to different swing states across the country over the weekend to kind of take a temperature of NFL fans and you know, really swing state voters on some of the key issues in the approaching midterms. I went to Miami to do Florida. We had someone else in Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and now I'm going to forget the last one because I'm on the radio and it's live.
There were
four and Georgia, excuse me. And so the four of us really just tried to take the temperature. For me, it was a lot about climate and crime and Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida. I really dove deep into those topics.
And what surprised you the most from what you heard of from fans? Granted, you know, it's not indicative of the entire electorate, but what surprised you the most from the conversations you had?
I think one of the things that surprised me was Ron DeSantis's popularity among not just partisan lines. I had, you know, several people tell me that they were really concerned about the state of our democracy, which generally, you know, has been polling higher among Democratic voters. But then they would say, but I also do love Ron DeSantis because he served in the military, because he's a family guy. You know, I think Floridians' concern, particularly people that live near the water, for climate change, for rising seas, that made sense to me. And for Republican voters to say that they were worried about crime and cultural issues and abortion, those things didn't surprise me, but the popularity of Ron DeSantis, among at least the people that I talked to in both parties, that was surprising to me.
Well, this is David Bowes. I'm just impressed that none of you got a beating because you're out at a football game talking politics and, you know, moving the conversation to exactly the thing that people are trying to escape from these days. What was the general reaction to just bringing up politics to people at the events? Because I feel like right now, you know, everybody's super divided. They're looking for escape, and it's hard to find.
I am a football beat reporter by trade, and I have done several stories about ownership and stadium in Washington. As you guys might know, the Washington owner is extremely unpopular, and I found it to be significantly more difficult to get people to agree to an interview on camera, which is not something I normally do, and about politics than it is about football or really anything else that I've done in my short career so far. There were plenty of people who made it known to me that they did not appreciate me bringing up politics on their Sunday while they were tailgating.
That's exactly what I figured there. I love that. And mad respect for the taxidermy props there. I'm hoping that you get really good at it, because my taxidermist retired, and it's tough to find people with skill.
And here's the thing. I am a diehard sports fan. The three major American sports, basketball, football, baseball. And before the pandemic, sports were kind of having a political moment. The All-Star game was supposed to be in Georgia, and then because of politics, it was moved out of Georgia. Then we had the Black Lives Matter movement, which has now amounted to little sayings on the back of football helmets. Do you think sports and politics are typically better off separated, or do you like kind of bringing the two together as a beat writer for the Washington Commanders? I always forget the new name. Sorry. What's your view on that?
Yeah, I guess to me, I've never really thought that anything is truly separate. I know that in the last few years, politics and sports have become, you know, hyper entwined, and corporations feel the need, you know, based on what they're hearing from customers, to stake out a political position as well. But I mean, I think if you look throughout history, I don't know if there's ever been a sporting event that has happened in a bubble or without the context of whatever is going on around it. So to me, I don't even know if it's a choice. Almost, maybe that's just the way that I look at the world. But I don't think that you can really ever isolate and say, hey, this. You know, you can go back to even, you know, the Miracle on Ice, right? There's sure. Just so many instances where politics and sports and culture collide.
When you were doing your interviews and you're asking people about politics, did you come across a lot of, shall we say, you know, divided groups? Like they're tailgating together, you're doing a political interview, one of them is, you know, hard left, one of them's hard right. Did you come across a lot of that, or did it pretty much, were they even tailgating as a tribe, so to speak?
I think that for the most part, they were tailgating as a tribe. I think that some of the people that I talked to had more nuanced views than I expected, like the Ron DeSantis voters who are Democrats, like I mentioned. But to me, you know, I think it would be difficult for me to take a true pulse on that just because of how many people said no. I ultimately spoke to 10 people, or at least 10 people agreed to do videos. I spoke to more than that. And that was probably maybe 10% or less of the number of people I had conversations with over, you know, 5 hours in the parking lot. So difficult to say definitively, but I would be surprised if there were more mixed groups than divided groups.
You ever watch that, you know, those clips, Drunk History, where they get history professors drunk and have them respond? So I'm thinking,
yes,
a follow-up for your story is interview these people and then give them a coupon or something for beers in the stadium, and then they have to agree to do it again to see what the impact of beverage intake would be on politics. I'd like to know if they're holding back.
Or better yet, I think what you do is you interview the losing team's fan base as they're coming out of the stadium about politics and see what reaction you get. The angry Jets fans as they make their way out of the – although they were happy when they beat the Green Bay Packers. Question here before we run out of time. I'm not sure the data points on this, so pardon my ignorance, but do NFL fans tend to lean conservative, NBA fans, liberal, baseball somewhere in the middle, or what has been your experience with fan bases and where they lean on the ideological spectrum?
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's a reliable statistic in terms of NFL fans in general.
Mm-hmm.
I would suspect that they lean conservative, just, you know, because of my experiences, but that's not supported. That's only anecdotal. That's not supported by any hard data. And certainly in Washington, I would imagine they lean conservative in part because, at least on this issue, because, you know, the former name was so divisive. And I think that a lot of people felt that they had to dig in to defend the name, because if you see the name as offensive, you know, you see yourself, you know, you think that people are calling you racist or people are calling you offensive or callous. And so I think, and obviously with the fan base losing and everything like that, I think that there is a hardened fan base left in Washington.
When you got together with your fellow reporters and talked about your experiences at respective football stadiums, whether it be Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, did you find that voters were talking about issues that were more national in scope or more local, or just did it differ depending on the city?
I think we all had sort of a similar experience about experiencing this through a national lens. And I would say that there were a lot of Florida voters that I spoke to who are hyper-focused on climate change, on rising sea levels. There were some in Ohio who were talking about a manufacturing plant. But generally, I think you got a lot of the broad strains of, you know, people were concerned about transgender issues, whether it be conservative or liberal. People were really concerned about Joe Biden. And, you know, a lot of these national flashpoint kind of shorthand things that I'm sure, you know, you guys hear or talk about all the time. It's sort of become, you know, I don't know if it was ever not red team, blue team, but it certainly seems to have become more that, with more shorthand slogans than certainly I've experienced in the past.
Well, it's a fun way to cover politics right now. With, you know, you're always looking for a new angle, because obviously with the midterms being such a dominant story, everything's been done to death. It's nice to kind of mix things up from a journalistic point of view. Have you guys considered any kinds of follow ups? Anything that you've got on the agenda from this? And what was the general response, you know, in terms of audience interest in this?
I think that if you're a football fan, this might be an accessible way to talk about politics in a way that you might have otherwise resisted. Mm-hmm. I think that people who are not into sports are, judging from my email inbox, the polite way is to say mildly skeptical of NFL fans' views on this.
Sam Fortier of the Washington Post, a beat writer for the Washington Commanders, thank you so much for making the time. People should go read your piece, What Voters in Swing States Are Saying 3 Weeks Before Midterms. Again, that's up at the Washington Post. Thanks again. It's Greg Tomlin and Dave Bozen for your Cultural Crusader. We will be right back in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Fred Dreyer here for a product I use and love, Balance7.com. Are you suffering with heartburn? Get relief from Balance 7. Most people are able to go back to eating the foods they enjoy with Balance 7. Please don't be stubborn. This really works. You're just a sip away from enjoying the foods you like. Try Balance 7 with a money-back guarantee. Do you suffer with joint discomfort? Getting out of bed in the morning feeling how stiff your body is and wondering how bad is it going to get as the years go by? Try Balance 7. It reduces the acid buildup in the body. In 3 days' time, you will feel a great improvement. Getting older doesn't have to mean it has to get worse. Use Balance 7. Go to Balance7.com or call 800-793-9039. That's 800-793-9039. Mention the code word FRED and get $10 off your order. Call 800-793-9039 and mention the code word FRED. Get heartburn relief and more with my favorite, Balance7.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it.
JC. Great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.